You're listening to EuroFolkRadio.com, a voice for European people worldwide. Psalm 91, known as the Soldier's Psalm. He that dwells in the secret place of Elyon, who abides under the shadow of the Shaddai, he is saying of Yahweh, my refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. For he delivers you from the snare of a trapper, from the destructive pestilence. He covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. You are not afraid of the dread by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that walks in darkness, or of destruction that ravages at midday. 1,000 fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you. Only with your eyes you look on and see the reward of the morally wrong, because you have made Yahweh, my refuge, the Elyon, your dwelling place. No evil befalls you, and a plague does not come near your tent. For he commands his messengers concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You tread upon lion and cobra, young lion and jackal you trample underfoot. Because he cleaves to me in love, therefore I deliver him. I set him on high because he has known my name. When he calls on me, I answer him. I am with him in distress. I deliver him and honor him. With long life I fill him and show him my deliverance.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Oh yes, see that banner go. Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters. We're in the book of Jasher, Sefer HaYashar, on Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve. Today we're going to be in Jasher 44. And it's a continuing saga about Yosef at this point, when he was brought down to Mitzrayim, which is Egypt, and it's a pretty wild ride. Let's get into it. You can look up all of my stuff on my website. All my shows are posted there if you've missed one. It's https pastor.steve.com. All my word-for-word shows are there, and Wake Up Call and a bunch of other stuff. It's not interactive. You can't troll. So if you're looking to cause problems, you're wasting your time. Because I don't have time to babysit. I'm real busy. Let's start in on chapter 44 of the book of Jasher. Verse 1. And the sons of Ishmael, who had bought Yosef from the Midianites, from his brethren, went to Mitzrayim with Yosef. And they came upon the borders of Mitzrayim. And when they came near unto Mitzrayim, they met four men of the sons of Medan, the son of Abraham, who had gone forth from the land of Mitzrayim on their journey. And the Ishmaelites said unto them, this is verse 2, do you desire to purchase this slave from us? And they said, deliver him over to us. And they delivered Yosef over to them. And they beheld him, that he was a very comely youth, and they purchased him for 20 shekels. Verse 3. And the Ishmaelites continued their journey to Mitzrayim, and the Medanim also returned that day to Mitzrayim, and the Medanim said to each other, behold, we have heard that Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, seeks a good servant who shall stand before him to attend him, and to make him overseer over his house and all belonging to him. Verse 4. Now therefore, come, let us sell him to him for what we may desire, if he be able to give unto us that which we shall require for him. Verse 5. And these Medanim went and came to the house of Potiphar and said unto him, we have heard that you seek a good servant to attend you. Behold, we have a servant that will please you if you can give unto us that which we may desire, and we will sell him unto you. Verse 6. And Potiphar said, bring him before me, and I will see him, and if he please me, I will give unto you that which you may require for him. Verse 7. And the Medanim went and brought Yosef, and placed him before Potiphar, and he saw him, and he pleased him exceedingly. And Potiphar said unto them, tell me what you require for this youth. Verse 8. And they said, 400 silver we desire for him. And Potiphar said, I will give it you if you bring me, and they have the record of, to make it intelligible in italics, of his sale to you, and will tell me his history, for perhaps he may be stolen. For this youth is neither a slave nor the son of a slave, but I observe in him the appearance of a goodly and handsome person. Verse 9, and you can reference Genesis 37, 36, okay, verse 36 of chapter 37. And the Midianim went and brought unto him the Ishmaelites who had sold him to them, and they told him, saying, He is a slave, and we sold him to them. Verse 10. And Potiphar heard the words of the Ishmaelites and his giving the silver unto the Midianim, and the Midianim took the silver and went on their journey, and the Ishmaelites also returned home. So he's changing hands a lot. They're just selling him left and right. Poor Joseph. Verse 11, And Potiphar took Yosef and brought him to his house that he might serve him. And Yosef found favor in the sight of Potiphar, and he placed confidence in him and made him overseer over his house. And all that belonged to him he delivered over into his hand. He had a big responsibility right there. Verse 12, and you can reference Genesis 39, verse 5. And Yahweh was with Yosef, and he became a prosperous man, and Yahweh blessed the house of Potiphar for the sake of Yosef. Verse 13. And Potiphar left all that he had in the hand of Yosef, and Yosef was one that caused things to come in and go out, and everything was regulated by his wish in the house of Potiphar. In other words, he was overseer of the house. He was in charge of buying all the provisions and sending out whatever, and he was running things. Verse 14. And Yosef was 18 years old, a youth with beautiful eyes and of comely appearance, and like unto him was not in the whole land of Mizraim. That's Egypt, okay? If you're reading in Jasher, that's what Egypt is in the Hebrew. Verse 15. At that time, while he was in his master's house, going in and out of the house and attending his master, Zelicah, Z-E-L-I-C-A-H, his master's wife, gives her name here, lifted up her eyes toward Yosef, and she looked at him, and behold, he was a youth, comely and well-favored. Okay, well, let's stop right here. She wasn't particularly moral. And he was young and studly, and she says, eye candy. Okay, well, this is going to cause problems. Verse 16. And she coveted his beauty in her heart, and her soul was fixed upon Yosef, and she enticed him day after day, tried to seduce him, okay? And Zelicah persuaded Yosef daily, but Yosef did not lift up his eyes to behold his master's wife, because he knew it would be a sin, okay? And Yahweh was with him. Verse 17, And Zelicah said unto him, How goodly are thy appearance and form! Truly I have looked at all the slaves and have not seen so beautiful a slave as you are. And Yosef said unto her, Surely he who created me in my mother's womb created all mankind. Okay. Verse 18. And she said unto him, How beautiful are your eyes with which you have dazzled all the inhabitants of Mizraim, men and women. And he said unto her, how beautiful they are while we are alive, but should you behold them in the grave, surely you would move away from them. He's trying to dodge. I'll give him credit. He's trying to dodge her. Verse 19. And she said unto him, how beautiful and pleasing are all thy words. Take, I pray thee, the harp which is in the house, and play with your hands, and let us hear your words. Here we go again, verse 20. And he said unto her, how beautiful and pleasing are my words when I speak the praise of my Elohim and his glory. That's my God, okay? And she said unto him, how very beautiful is the hair of your head. Behold the golden comb which is in the house. Take it, I pray thee, and curl the hair of thy head. Well, at this point he's getting rather fed up. Verse 21, and he said unto her, how long will you speak these words? Cease to utter these words to me, and rise and attend to thy domestic affairs. In other words, do your work, woman. Verse 22, and she said unto him, there was no one in my house, and there is nothing to attend to, but to your words and to your wish. Stop here. In other words, there's nobody home, and whatever you want to do, big boy, well, it's not working. Yahweh's with him and strengthening him. Continuing on in verse 22, yet notwithstanding all this, she could not bring Yosef unto her, neither did he place his eye upon her, but directed his eyes below to the ground. In other words, he wouldn't look her in the eye. Verse 23. And Zelicah desired Yosef in her heart that he should lie with her. That's sexually, okay? And at the time that Yosef was sitting in the house doing his work, Zelicah came and sat before him, and she enticed him daily with discourse to lie with her or to look at her. But Yosef would not hearken to her. Okay, stop right here. There's an old saying, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. She's not getting anywhere with this boy. Verse 24, and she said unto him, if thou wilt not do to my words, I will chastise you with the punishment of death and put an iron yoke upon you. Verse 25. And Yosef said unto her, surely Yah, who created man, looses the fetters of prisoners, and it is he who will deliver me from thy prison and from thy judgment. Verse 26. And when she could not prevail over him to persuade him, and her soul fixed upon him, her desire threw her into a grievous sickness. Verse 27. And all the women of Mitzrayim came to visit her, and they said unto her, why are you in this declining state? You that lack nothing, surely your husband is a great and esteemed prince in the sight of the king. should you lack anything of what your heart desires. Verse 28. And Zelicah answered them, saying, this day it shall be made known to you whence this springs in which you see me. And she commanded her maidservants to prepare food for all the women. And she made a banquet for them, and all the women ate in the house of Zelicah. Verse 29. And she gave them knives to peel the citrons to eat them. Let's stop here. A citron is like a giant lemon crossed with an orange. It's a particular fruit. And she commanded that they should dress Yosef in costly garments, and that he should appear before them. And Yosef came before their eyes, and all the women looked on Yosef and could not take their eyes off of him. And they all cut their hands with the knives that they had in their hands, and all the citrons that were in their hands were filled with blood. Verse 30. And they knew not what they had done, but they continued to look at the beauty of Yosef and did not turn their eyelids from him. Verse 31. I got to get a little hit of coffee here. Verse 31. And Zelicah saw what they had done, and she said unto them, what is this work that you have done? Behold, I gave you citrons to eat, and you have all cut your hands. Verse 32. And all the women saw their hands, and behold, they were full of blood, and their blood flowed down upon their garments. And they said unto her, this slave in your house has overcome us, and we could not turn our eyelids from him on account of his beauty. Verse 33. And she said unto them, surely this happened to you in the moment that you looked at him, and you could not contain yourselves from him. How then can I refrain when he is constantly in my house, and I see him day after day going in and out of my house? How can I keep from declining or even perishing on account of this? Verse 34. And they said unto her, the words are true. For who can see this form in the house and refrain from him? And is he not your slave and attendant in your house? And why do you not tell him that which is in your heart, and suffer your soul to perish through this matter? In other words, why don't you just command him, you know? Well, not going to happen with Yosef. Verse 35. And she said unto them, I am daily endeavoring to persuade him, and he will not consent to my wishes. And I promised him everything that is good, and yet I could not meet with no return from him. I am therefore in a declining state, as you see. Verse 36. Angelica became very ill on account of her desire toward Yosef, and she was desperately lovesick on account of him. And all the people of the house of Zelica and her husband knew nothing of this matter, that Zelica was ill on account of her love to Yosef. She kept it secret. Verse 37. And all the people of her house asked her, saying, "Why are you ill and declining and lack nothing?" And she said unto them, "I know not this thing which is daily increasing upon me." Verse 38. And all the women and her friends came daily to see her, and they spoke with her, and she said unto them, "This can only be through the love of Yosef." And they said unto her, "Entice him and seize him secretly. Perhaps he may hearken to you and put off this death from you." Boy, verse 39. And Zelica became worse from her love to Yosef, and she continued to decline till she had scarce strength to stand. That really messed her up. That's all I can say. You know. And on a certain day, Yosef was doing, this is verse 40. And on a certain day, Yosef was doing his master's work in the house. And Zelica came secretly and fell suddenly upon him. And Yosef rose up against her, and he was more powerful than she, and he brought her down to the ground. Verse 41, she jumped him. Verse 41, and Zelica wept on account of the desire of her heart toward him, and she supplicated him with weeping, and her tears flowed down her cheeks, and she spoke unto him in a voice of supplication and in bitterness of soul, saying, verse 42, "Have you ever heard, seen, or known of so beautiful a woman as I am, or better than myself, who speak daily unto thee, fall into a decline, through love for you, confer all this honor upon you, and still you will not hearken to my voice?" Verse 43, "And if it be through fear of thy master, lest he punish thee, as the king lives, no harm shall come to you from thy master through this thing. Now, therefore, pray, listen to me, and consent for the sake of the honor which I have conferred upon thee, and put off this death from me. And why should I die for your sake?" And she ceased to speak. Verse 44, "And Yosef answered her, saying, Refrain from me, and leave this matter to my master. Behold, my master knows not what there is with me in the house. For all that belongs to him he has delivered into my hand, and how shall I do these things in my master's house?" Verse 45, "For he has also greatly honored me in his house, and he has also made me overseer over his house, and he has exalted me, and there is no one greater in this house than I am. And my master has refrained nothing from me, excepting you who are his wife. How then can you speak these words unto me? And here's the key right here. And how can I do this great evil and sin to Elohim and to your husband? He's worried about sin. He's a righteous man. Verse 46. Now therefore, refrain from me and speak no more such words as these, for I will not hearken to your words. But Zelicah would not hearken to Joseph when he spoke these words to her, but she daily enticed him to listen to her. Verse 47. And it was after this that the brook of Egypt, or Mitzrayim, was filled above all its sides. Let's stop. That when the Nile flooded, it put topsoil and stuff all over their fields and made everything super fertile. Okay, continuing on. And all the inhabitants of Mitzrayim went forth, and also the king and princes went forth with timbrels and dances, for it was a great rejoicing in Mitzrayim and a holiday at the time of the inundation of the sea Sychar, and they went there to rejoice all the day, because that's a fertility thing over their fields. Verse 48. And when the Mitzrayim went out to the river to rejoice, that's the Egyptians, as was their custom, all the people of the house of Potiphar went with them. But Zelicah would not go with them, for she said, now this is a lie, but she said it anyway. Okay. I am indisposed. And she remained alone in the house. And no other person was with her in the house. Uh-oh. Verse 49. And she rose up and ascended to her temple in the house and dressed herself in princely garments. And she placed upon her head precious stones of onyx stones inlaid with silver and gold. And she beautified her face and skin with all sorts of women's purifying liquids. And she perfumed the temple and the house with cassia and frankincense, and she spread myrrh and aloes, and she afterwards sat in the entrance of the temple in the passage of the house through which Yosef passed to do his work. And behold, Yosef came from the field and entered the house to do his master's work. She's laying in wait for him. Boy. Verse 50. And he came to the place he had to pass, and he saw all the work of Zelicah, and he turned back. Verse 51. And Zelicah saw Yosef turning back from her, and she called out to him, saying, "What ails you, Yosef? Come to thy work, and behold, I will make room for thee until you shall have passed to thy seat." In other words, it was a narrow passage. And she was going to grab him when he got nearer. verse 52. And Joseph returned and came to the house, and passed from there to the place of his seat, and he sat down to do his master's work as usual. And behold, Zelicah came to him and stood before him in princely garments, and the scent from her clothes was spread to a distance. In other words, she had foo-foo powder on and perfume, and she really was making an effort. Okay. Verse 53, and she hastened and caught hold of Joseph and his garments, and she said unto him, as the king lives, if you will not perform my request, you shall die this day. And she hastened and stretched forth her other hand, and drew a sword from beneath her garments, and she placed it upon Joseph's neck, and she said, rise and perform my request, and if not, thou diest this day. Oh man, she was intense. What a predatory woman. Wow. Verse 54, and you can reference Genesis 39, verse 12. And Joseph was afraid of her at her doing this thing. Well, I guess so. And he rose up to flee from her, and she seized the front of his garments, and in the terror of his flight, the garment which Zelicah seized was torn. And Joseph left the garment in the hand of Zelicah, and he fled and got out, for he was in fear. Verse 55. And when Zelicah saw that Joseph's garment was torn, and that he had left it in her hand and had fled, she was afraid of her life, lest report should spread concerning her, and she rose up and acted with cunning, and put off the garments in which she was dressed, and she put on her other garments. Verse 56. And she took Joseph's garment, and she laid it beside her, and she went and seated herself in the place where she had sat in her illness, before the people of her house had gone out to the river, and she called a young lad who was in the house. And she ordered him to call the people of the house to her. Verse 57. And when she saw them, she said unto them with a loud voice and lamentation, see what a Hebrew your master has brought to me in the house, for he came this day to lie with me. For when you had gone out, he came to the house, and seeing that there was no person in the house, he came unto me and caught hold of me to lie with me. Verse 59. And I seized his garments and tore them and called out against him with a loud voice. And when I had lifted up my voice, he was afraid of his life and left his garment before me and fled. Boy, she laid it on. Really laid it on. Verse 60. And the people of her house spoke nothing, but their wrath was very much kindled against Joseph. And they went to his master and told him the words of his wife. That's all lies, but that's what he heard. Verse 61, and Potiphar came home enraged, and his wife cried out to him, saying, what is this thing that you have done to me in bringing a Hebrew servant into my house? For he came unto this day to sport with me. That means have a sexual liaison. Thus did he do unto me this day. More lies, but he's going to fall for it. verse 62. And Potiphar heard the words of his wife, and he ordered Joseph to be punished with severe stripes, and they did so to him. In other words, they beat him. Verse 63. And while they were smiting him, Joseph called out with a loud voice, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, my headphones slipped. O Yahweh, you know that I am innocent of all these things. And why shall I die this day through falsehood by the hand of these uncircumcised wicked men whom you know? Verse 64. And while Potiphar's men were beating Joseph, he continued to cry out and weep, and there was a child there 11 months old. And Yahweh opened the mouth of the child. Okay? And he spoke these words before Potiphar's men who were smiting Joseph, saying, verse 65. What do you want of this man? And why do you do this evil to him? My mother speaks falsely and utters lies. Thus was the transaction. Verse 66. And the child told them accurately all that happened and all the words of Zelicah to Joseph. Day after day did he declare unto them. Verse 67. And all the men heard the words of the child, and they wondered greatly at the child's words. And the child ceased to speak and became still. Verse 68. And Potiphar was very much ashamed at the words of his son, and he commanded his men not to beat Joseph anymore. And the men ceased beating Joseph. Verse 69. And Potiphar took Joseph and ordered him to be brought to justice before the priests, who were judges belonging to the king, in order to judge him concerning this affair. Stop right here. Doesn't matter whether he's innocent. He's going to get judged anyway, regardless of guilt or innocence. Now, Yahweh's working in this. He wants him to go into prison so he can fix things. Okay? Now, remember, he's 18 right now. Verse 70. And Potiphar and Joseph came before the priests, the king's judges, and he said unto them, decide, I pray you, what judgment is due to a servant, for thus he has done. Just lied. Verse 71. And the priest said unto Joseph, why did you do this thing to your master? And Joseph answered them, saying, not so, my lords, thus was the matter. And Potiphar said unto Joseph, surely I entrusted in your hands all that belonged to me, and I withheld nothing from you but my wife, and how could you do this evil? Verse 72. And Joseph answered, saying, not so, my lord, as Yahweh lives, and as your soul lives, my lord, the word which you did hear from your wife is untrue. For thus was the affair this day. verse 73. A year has elapsed to me since I have been in your house. So I guess he's 19 at this time. Have you seen any iniquity in me, or anything which might cause you to demand my life? Verse 74. And the priest said unto Potiphar, send, we pray you, and let them bring before us Joseph's torn garment. And let us see the tear in it, and if it shall be that the tear is in front of the garment, then his face must have been opposite to her, and she must have caught hold of him. To come to her, and with deceit did your wife do all that she had spoken. Okay, verse 75. And they brought Joseph's garment before the priests, who were judges, and they saw, and behold, the tear was in front of Joseph, and all the judging priests knew that she had pressed him, and they said, the judgment of death is not due to this slave, for he has done nothing, but his judgment is that he be placed in the prison house on account of the report which through him has gone forth against thy wife. Stop right here. In other words, we can't have this slave telling people that your wife and you're an important man. We can't have you slandered by your wife. So we're going to punish this slave even though he didn't do anything. We're going to cover this up. Sounds like a day, doesn't it? Verse 76. And Potiphar heard their words, and he placed him in the prison house, the place where the king's prisoners are confined. Now dig this. And Joseph was in the house of confinement 12 years. Okay. That's 12 plus 19. He was 31 years old when he got out. Okay. Verse 77. And notwithstanding this, his master's wife did not turn from him, and she did not cease from speaking to him day after day to hearken to her. And at the end of 3 months, Zelicah continued going to Joseph to the house of confinement day by day. And she enticed him to hearken to her. And Zelicah said unto Joseph, how long will you remain in this house? But hearken now to my voice, and I will bring you out of this house. Verse 78. Now listen to this. And Joseph answered her, saying, it is better for me to remain in this house than to hearken to thy words, to sin against Yah. And she said unto him, if you will not perform my wish, I will pluck out your eyes, add fetters to your feet, and will deliver you into the hands of them who you did not know before. Verse 79. And Joseph answered her and said, behold, the Elohim of the whole land is able to deliver me from all that you can do unto me, for he opens the eyes of the blind and looses those that are bound and preserves all strangers who are unacquainted with the land. Verse 80. And when Zelekah was unable to persuade Yosef to hearken to her, she left off going to entice him, and Yosef was still confined in the house of confinement. And Yaakov, the father of Yosef, and all his brethren who were in the land of Canaan still mourned and wept in those days on account of Yosef. For Yaakov refused to be comforted for his son Yosef. And Yaakov cried aloud and wept and mourned all those days. Well, boy, oh boy, that wicked woman sounds like somebody that was married to one of our presidents here recently. She sounds like that president's wife. Things haven't changed much now, have they? Nah. So it was then, so it is now. It says in Proverbs, there is nothing new under the sun. And you've got wickedness going on. Right in this chapter, and you've got the same wickedness going on in the world today. How you like them apples? Boy, oh boy. Got really ugly with Yosef. They stuck him in the prison house, and back in those days, wasn't like now. You didn't have sanitary conditions, and have all the amenities, even in some horrible county jails, probably was better than what he was in. I don't know the exact conditions, but he was unjustly in the jail. They do the same thing to people today, especially patriots. They'll lock you up for nothing. And they've got people over in Germany. Got a Canadian citizen locked up for sending a text to her mother saying I was wrong about the Holocaust. And she went over to Germany to watch a trial, and they arrested her at the trial. And she's a Canadian citizen and did the text in Canada, but they still have her locked up. Well, she's got it appealed. We'll see. We've got to see. Even if she does go to prison, it's not going to be a real long sentence. But it's the point that she shouldn't be in prison at all. They had no business arresting her. But they did. Well, they had no business arresting Yosef for that lying woman. Then the guy finds out his wife is lying, and he doesn't do anything about it. He doesn't punish her. And she still goes to see him at the jail and pesters him at the jail. Go figure. I mean, wow, she was dedicated. Oh, man. Things are crazy out in the world. They were crazy then. They're crazy now. Yosef has gone through hell. His brothers threw him in a pit. They were mad at him. They pulled his clothes off. Tore him up. Threw him in a pit. Somebody came along and pulled him out of the pit and took him as a slave. And then they came and said, give him back. And then they said, well, we'll give you this much money. And they said, oh, really? Well, they sold him. And then they go down the road and they start worrying about it. Well, we really shouldn't have bought him. His God might really come down on us. So they sold him to somebody else. They started abusing him, and Yahweh struck them all blind and had storms and lightnings and just scared the heck out of them. They figured out that if they were going to beat on Joseph, that was a bad thing to do. So they get down to Egypt, and there's another group, the Midian. They sold him again. That's the third time. And then the Midian sold him to Potiphar. That's four times. Whoa. Man. Well, that was an exciting chapter. We're going to get into chapter 45 on Friday and probably 46. They're not nearly as long as this one. So what I'm going to do is play a little music right about now and then my bumper music. And I will wish you the blessings of Yahweh, and may He bless and keep you. And I will catch you on Friday the 16th, as today's the 14th of February. Praise Yahweh, and I'll talk to you later. You're listening to EuroFolkRadio.com, a voice for European people worldwide.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.